The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While, one in which we are here with a very good friend of ours, Robin.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Right before we're about ready to get an epic storm, I guess everyone across the country is. Oh, we're also here with Greg Hunter.
Yep. Local meteorologist and Be Here for a While weatherman.
I have
seen reports of 3 inches of ice. That seems impossible. In the South, too. In your home state of even North Carolina.
Yeah, it's right. From the east to the west. Talia's looks worse. My sister lives in Tennessee than even we're going to get. But 3 inches of ice?
I saw like 64 inches of snow in some regions of like around Tennessee, Kentucky, yeah. Indiana. I have a feeling we're going to get hit hard. Riding this blanket where, like, they don't consider us even part of Colorado, so in, like, the major national broadcast, they're not like, and Colorado's going to get it too.
Oh, but why? Because really, there's less than 500 people that live here?
That could be it. Yes, yeah. We're the least populated county in the entire state.
But it's the biggest county, no?
It is the biggest county by land mass.
Robin's like, thank you for all these facts. Have you talked to anyone in North Carolina that's anticipating?
No, I haven't.
Interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see how it shakes out.
So we're hunkered down, preparing to brave the storm. It's the calm before the storm.
Yes.
And we're having a nice fireside chat with our friend Robin.
And Robin is a very, like, calming force until she terrorizes me sometimes. And
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, let's let Rachel sit in it.
What? Yeah, just let me sit in it. It's fine. No, I love Robin. Everyone just knows that I use our town as my world stage. I just like to say annoying stuff to people. You experienced it today.
I did, yes. Yep.
So, Robin, our dear friend, has a very interesting story. If you guys listen back in, like, 2020, I think, I interviewed her. She was originally on the podcast Something Was Wrong, very good podcast. And then I reached out to Tiffany, who owns the podcast or is the host of the podcast, to ask if it would be okay if I asked her guests to do mine, because I was so fascinated with the story. And it also kind of reminded me a little bit of Dirty John, which, if you've listened, Tara Newell's been on here a bunch of times. Robin has kind of a similar story of, you just never know when you can be conned by a man and life, and but Robin is better for it. She's a sweetheart, and she has a partner that is so unbelievably in love with her, he was gushing about you again today. So let's kind of start from the beginning. You're from North Carolina.
Yes, I was born in Kinston, North Carolina, and I lived there for most of my life.
How big is that town?
I'm not really sure.
You don't know?
But it's relatively small?
Yeah.
Okay.
As small as this town? No? Okay. Kenson, North Carolina. You're on the beach, right?
At like an hour from the beach.
Okay. Cool. And what was that town like with the culture of that town like?
I moved back in high school, so I had to like jump back in and like meet new people and things, but it's mostly a farm town and has lots of like chicken farms and tobacco farms and stuff like that.
How far are you from, is it Maggie Valley where Popcorn Sutton was? I could not mention Popcorn.
Like Asheville.
Like 4 hours.
Okay, yeah. That's, if she's by the coast in any way, like Asheville's way back.
Got it.
In the hollows and in the mountains.
Yeah, but I've been to Boone before. My friend Kayla went to Appalachian State.
Oh, okay.
That's how you say it, Appalachian?
Yes.
That's how the true Appalachians say it.
Is that how you would say it?
No, I'm an Appalachian type of guy because I'm from, you know, Indiana.
Do you know of Popcorn Sutton?
I don't. Who is that?
Really?
Give her a little rundown. We covered him on Seven Deadly Sinners, our other podcast.
You're so polite. By now, after Rachel saying it so many times, I thought you would have been like, I figured you knew.
I've said his tagline before at her place of employment, last damn run of liquor I'll ever make.
Yeah, that's actually not Rachel's line, even though she says it all the time. Mm. Popcorn Sutton was a famous moonshiner, but not from like the way back when, like... He died in the 2000s, and he was doing this, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today's kind of time frame. Anyhow, he was a prolific moonshiner, made some of the best shine, and he looked, when he was 50 years old, he looked like he was 100.
He was hilarious.
Basically, he's famous because, like, rather than be arrested and put in jail, he, like, took a cyanide pill. Like, the government wants to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But his documentary, The Last Damn Run of Liquor I'll Ever Make, that wasn't his last damn run of liquor, but the whole documentary, he's like, and he drives a Model T, and he's, like, going up the mountain for...
He's just a true mountain man, true Appalachian mountain man, you know.
There's some lore that he never lit a cigarette... What is that?
Oh, well, this is true. He only ever lit one cigarette in his life. All of the rest were lit by the, you know, the one before.
So he was just constantly chain smoking?
I think it is true that he's never been filmed without a cigarette in his mouth and or hand.
And he liked big women, too. That's another good one.
All right, but this is not Popcorn Sutton podcast.
Okay, whatever.
All right.
It's something to look into. It's your legacy from where you're from.
North Carolina has a lot more things than Popcorn Sutton.
True, but he's fantastic, I think.
Oh, there's also a lot of pig farms in North Carolina, too.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have the wild pigs there? Wild boars or whatever?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You do by now, because some have got out and not captured.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about what it was like growing up there. Like, what did your parents do? Did you have siblings? What did you like to do?
I was a bad kid when I was in high school and, like, middle school. What did I like to do? I usually hung out with my friends. I had, like, a close group of them. My dad was a drug addict, so he had, like, several jobs. He couldn't really keep a job. I never really met my birth mom, except for, like, one time. And I was, like, way younger. She lives in Ohio now and tries to keep contact with me, but, like, there's nothing really there.
Yeah.
When I was born, she was on drugs, and so she couldn't take care of me, and so she gave me to this man who was named Andy, and I thought he was my dad for, like, most of my life. And then when I was, like, 7 and a half, my grandparents came, who I'd never met before, from North Carolina. I was living in Chicago, Illinois. And they kidnapped me while I was at school, but they had a court order, and they just basically told me to go with them. They called me into the principal's office and said that. And then I just thought I could walk home from school the next day. I didn't know they were taking me all the way to North Carolina.
You were in Chicago at that point?
Yeah.
Wow. That is... I'm sorry that...
And how old? You were 7?
7 and a half.
Wow.
Oh, 7, yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah, that is being ripped from your friends, too, because you probably already had...
What was your, if you remember, your initial, like, vibe of your grandparents?
I didn't really know anything about them. I didn't really know who they were, either. You'd
never met them before?
No, not that I remember.
Oh, wow.
And they just, like, showed up to my school and called me into the principal's office and said that I was going home with them. And then they drove us all the way to North Carolina.
What was that drive like?
It was long. I remember sleeping on, like, the floorboards of the truck.
Aww.
And... they had a disabled son with them, too, so they were, like, taking care of him while they were doing this drive, too.
That's stressful. How disabled?
He has Angelman syndrome.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Look it up later.
Okay.
He can't talk. He can't really feed himself. He can't go to the bathroom by himself.
Oh, man. Okay, so like, some serious attention.
Yeah.
How old were your grandparents at that time? Like,
I'm not really sure.
That is very traumatizing. You didn't know them. How did they know that you needed help or they needed to rescue you?
I'm not really sure. They haven't really told me about that.
You still stay in contact with them?
I do. They're the ones that bought me the Jeep that I drive.
Oh.
I plan on going through my court records and stuff when I go to North Carolina to see, like, what really happened, because... it took, like, 7 and a half years of them doing all this court to figure out where to place me and where to go, and then they never really decided. One of my foster families got guardianship over me, and they were, like, really abusive, and eventually I got out of there and moved back in with Andy, who I thought was my dad, but I found out through the courts that he wasn't, because they had a DNA test done during that time.
Oh, Robin, I love you. I'm so sorry.
Love you, too.
Did Andy think that he was? Like, was a DNA test necessary?
I don't think. I think he knew he wasn't, and he was just, like, raising me as his own. But he wasn't the greatest because he was battling with addiction when I got back. I don't think he was dealing with addiction when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It just hadn't progressed yet, yeah.
How did your mom know him?
She worked at the strip club that he owned.
I don't mean to laugh.
It's okay. It was actually like a Jack Shack where, like, prostitution was done.
Mm.
And the girls who worked there were strung out on drugs and yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Where I mean, very quick side note, worked on Amanda Winkowski's case for a long time on Seven Deadly Sinners. And yeah, this place that also I think Epstein went to was all the girls were, and she was like terrified. They tried to get her to strip, whatever, and she just started crying. But I think a lot of them are like that. They, I think they keep them high probably
to deal with it.
Yeah. Very, very sad. A lot what of does the, Jack Shack mean? Sorry.
Like a hand job place.
Got it. I kind
of use your imagination, Rachel. That one was spoon fed.
I kind of thought, whatever. It could have been Jack Daniels.
And admittedly, I hadn't heard that term either.
A lot of before, the girls but. That were there had also had like kids too and on drugs and stuff. I was a drug baby too. I'm not sure what she was on though.
Yeah. Well, you seem very well adjusted for that.
I'd like to think so.
Do you know, there was shit. What was that? Podcast. I interviewed her for on this one. She kind of debunks things, but in like the Reagan era where it was like the say no to drugs thing, even though they had drug addicts do the whole song thing on it, whatever. They did a study that like kids that are malnourished are actually worse off than like let's say a crack baby. Like,
well, it's the malnourishment. If you're not eating enough, it's affecting your brain and your body.
Yeah,
and probably not for the best.
Yeah, but they, yeah, they said that that's worse than yeah. Well, you're being raised better now. I'll take care of you.
That was a pretty interesting statistic, Rachel.
It's true.
I believe you. Well, that's
what she said. It's harder on the, I don't know, the developmental system.
I bet. I'm sure. Yeah, food.
I mean, I'll fact check it, but I'm pretty sure. American hysteria.
Of course. I just think it's a very interesting juxtaposition. Like, crack babies are healthier than starving babies.
Well, I was just letting her know she's fine.
When you're a baby and you're introduced to drugs, like in the womb, it only takes like a little bit of time to get it out of your system after you're born.
That's true.
So it's probably less of a time than being malnourished for overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not metabolizing those kind of things, I'm sure, at that state, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. It was an interesting statistic. I just want her to know she's awesome.
I think it was a very interesting compliment that luckily Robert is sophisticated and kind enough to take.
Whatever.
Thank you.
I did a workaround. Leave me alone. I don't like you. We're just joking. We're not fighting here, guys.
Do you still have contact with this Andy character?
I do. Apparently, he's raising like 5 grandkids because his kids are on drugs and can't raise their kids, so they just like continued the cycle that our moms essentially did.
I mean, it's an epidemic like across the country, but would you say like in that area?
I don't know if he's raising them right because he didn't raise me right.
Yeah.
I was told that he's on methadone. It was to like get off the heroin that he was on. And at first it was pain pills, and then it eventually led into heroin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that a lot of the kids, so I grew up in a small town in Oregon, and a lot of my high school buddies, I don't know if they were doing the pills when we were in high school. I mean, no one's ever going to offer me anything, and nor do I want it. But a lot of them started with pills, and then it's harder to get the pills than they moved to heroin.
He had a prescription for them for most of his life too, and
but they started cracking down on that kind of thing, you know, I think.
Not in North Carolina. There's really? An opioid epidemic.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I think the opioid epidemic is certainly everywhere, very pervasive, and they're cracking down on it now. But yeah, I mean, this is, even if it's 10 years ago, I think it's very easy to be like, oh, I have back pain, chronic back pain, and you can get these pain pills. And I think that pathway of pain pills, opioids, to then heroin is like...
Well, there's that family they did the documentary
the
on.
Most
basically
common
got
ladder.
Everyone addicted. I never saw the documentary. I don't know, there's some family that with like OxyContin or
kind of remember.
Weren't they pharmacists?
I didn't see it, but I know that it's like, you know, some family that was just like, yeah, we don't care that we're killing people.
He even had like back surgeries and stuff, so they gave him prescriptions for it, and then he would take more than his prescription, and then also my stepmom's prescription too.
It's very sad though. Like, I think anyone can be, and at least they're cracking down on it, you know, more now, but like there's stories of like a housewife that went and got a tooth surgery and they overprescribed her and then she became addicted because
it's like, inedible.
It's what?
It's an even I can't say
inevitable.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but they, I mean, they, I do find this funny because I'm like the last person that would ever become addicted to a pain pill. Like, I'm sleepy enough anyways. Like, people have thought I was on pain pills just because I'm like, I got tired. But after, like, they were pumping me full of Dilaudid after my car accident, like an IV. I didn't even know what Dilaudid was. And then when I left the hospital, they were like, here's 10 pills. I was like, thanks. I don't think I finished them. But I'm like, you were literally like every 4 hours they were like giving me more.
In the hospital, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I know some cousins of mine that like hurt themselves on purpose, like with a hammer on their hand just to get prescriptions.
Oh, that's dark.
Yeah.
I think that's a big problem of what they're facing. And like that's sad. Certainly is seen at the Pueblo Hospital and Colorado Springs, unfortunately. So, and I think they, you know, now the rule of thumb is kind of like give you as little as possible. And then if you.
Yeah. Which I think is smart.
I mean, who knows? It's tough.
Yeah, but going to the ER just for pain meds is like something that's
pretty dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's common too.
Really?
Yes.
So they try to hurt themselves. Oh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never knew that. We saw it when we were at the ER. Oh, maybe that was with. That was with my dad. This is when I was with my dad, but there was a situation of someone who was like clearly like did not need, but
an addict,
and they you know like they'd been there 5 times that week, right? And they're freaking out and like screaming in pain, writhing in pain, right in front of the doors, the security's forced to be like, no, you know,
get help.
Dave, go home. Yeah. Like they knew him by first name, and it's it was a sad sight to see.
I've kind of seen that before at the pharmacy, the Safeway one. Where someone, they were just getting really upset that and the pharmacist was like, we can't give it to you yet. Like, it's a controlled substance. And they're just like losing mad. It. Like, I'm like, Jesus. It's sad. My heart goes out to people like that. I don't know.
Pain pills are not something to fuck with.
Yeah. And I believe the detox from it is.
You can die from it.
Yeah.
I think the pain is actually, in a lot of ways, depending what your ailment is, somewhat productive for the nervous system and the body to heal itself.
Well, that's also why I didn't, like, after my accident, because I knew I would be stupid. I mean, I did garden with a back brace on, and I was on paralyzation watch. I purposely did not take even an Advil, because I was I was like, if I don't feel pain, I'm going to do something.
There's a difference
stupid.
Between, you know, not overtaking pain pills and then Rachel putting herself through deliberate pain.
But if I didn't feel the pain, I would go too far and then I could have paralyzed myself. So I was just like, suck it up.
Anyhow. After that sidetrack.
Yeah, I feel very bad for people like that.
It's a disease.
Can I say one more thing? When you were saying something about the nervous system, there's a good quote from Gabor Mate that's like, I ask not why the addiction, I ask why the pain. Like, they're trying to kill something inside of them. That's hurting. Okay. Anyways, go ahead, sweetheart.
When was the first time you came across addiction? I mean, at a young age, when did you realize, I presume it may have been Andy?
I recognized it pretty early, within like the first week of returning home after 7.5 years. And he said that he ran out of his prescription and that we were going to go get some from a friend of his.
Oh, okay.
And you were only 7.5?
No, I was 14, almost 15, and
so it was you left like, your grandparents.
Well, I got put into foster care after my grandparents for 7.5 years, and then
so
when I turned 15,
let's go back just a second. So your grandparents come and get you out of school in Chicago. They take you to North Carolina. You didn't live with them for 7 years?
No, I lived with them for like not even a year or 2 years.
Oh wow! Did you enjoy that, or did you not like that?
Well, it was okay. While I was there, my sister, my half-sister, was sexually abusing me and stuff, and they were also, like, abusing her, but not me, and they even had, like, a camera in her room and stuff, and supposedly, like, making her, like, throw up after school from, like, eating and, like, starving her, and, eventually, CPS came to our school and talked to both of us, and then they removed us from the home in the middle of the night.
What was that like? Like a SWAT team kind of deal?
It was cops? Two ladies who were from CPS, and they just came in the middle of the night, and we packed what we could.
And did your grandparents know?
No, they had no idea.
So they were in like a different room. They didn't know that CPS came in?
No, they knew like that we were being taken, but they didn't know that that was going to happen.
Like, got it. Okay. So they knocked on the door. They didn't like secretly sneak you out.
Yeah. And then I got put into foster care for 7.5 years where they went through like court systems and stuff and were trying to figure out where to put me.
And yeah. Did you lose contact with your, what you said, half-sister?
Yeah, we were in one home together, and then they, like, kind of knew or, assumed that there was sexual abuse just based off our, like, behavior and stuff. And then we were separated. And then she got put into different foster homes, and then I got put into different foster homes.
Did your, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to cry. Go back.
It's
okay. Did your grandparents ever face any legal repercussions?
I don't think so.
Is the statute of limitations up?
Just like the court stuff that was so strung out over the years. They had to deal with like legal fees and stuff like that.
Oh, at least they got that. How many different foster homes did you go to?
At least 5 or 6. And then the last one I was put in, it was a group home. And that was right before Andy got me back, which I don't think he should have because of the drug abuse and the neglect. And eventually I had to move in with a boyfriend when I was 15 because they wouldn't take me to school. I had to like beg them every morning to take me to school. And because they were high on drugs and sleeping, they didn't want to do that.
So, like with...
This is Andy and...
Tracy. My dad, who's not my dad, and his wife, my stepmom.
So it was his Andy's wife. Wow.
But you still stay in contact with him?
Yes, because I do think they are family. One thing that I really didn't like after I got back was one of the drug houses we would go to was one of the people that sexually abused me, and he knew about it, and he still brought me around him.
I don't like that at all.
Neither do I.
I have a lot of people that I have a hit on right now.
Yeah, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, that he was, like, okay with me being around him. I never, like, stayed the night or anything again, but, like, still around that person is, like, not okay.
Is that person dead yet?
No. He actually has a kid.
Oh, great.
Did that incident happen before North Carolina or after?
The sexual abuse?
Yeah.
Or
from the drug house guy?
That was when I was younger, like before I got taken.
Okay.
And it came out in court that that happened, and they basically said that he was like... I don't know the right words. That he, like he wasn't mentally well, or, like... It was an excuse.
Yeah. Do you so you said when you go back to North Carolina, you want to go through your court documents. Did someone save a record of them?
Or? My grandma did.
Okay. Those are also usually online. I don't know, maybe because you're a minor, they might not be.
I tried to look into it and talk to DHS about it a while ago, and I really didn't get anywhere. But she kept, like, all of what she could.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to think, like, court systems have been updated.
Yeah.
Know, like, from analog to digital, I'm sure all kinds of stuff have been lost. Yeah. And you just, I mean... can't trust the court system. Better off, like, if there's, yeah, hard physical copies.
I mean,
so there's more information there than whatever exists, than whatever secretary in the courthouse might be willing to pull for you on
she
that
said
day.
There's, like, boxes upon boxes.
If you need help with that, I've done that before. I mean, if you dig enough, and then if you get the right person on the phone, I mean, the stuff with the Franklin scandal, I found a bunch of stuff. You let me know if you want help with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just so sorry that happened to you. You were 7 and a half when you were taken from Chicago, but when did you move from North Carolina to Chicago? When were you taken from Andy?
So I think he was running from DHS and CPS when we initially moved there. We moved there on a bus, like mm-hmm. an Amtrak. No, not an Amtrak, like a bus.
Were you like essentially kidnapped?
Well, he never had my birth certificate or anything and no okay. legal documentation stating that he could watch me or have me. And that's essentially why my grandparents got away with what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so we were, like, missing a lot of school and, like, people were starting to notice. And we had moved around a lot, like, several times, several different schools. I think in one school year... I had been to, like, 7 different schools.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just because he kept avoiding and, like, running from...
Yeah, they start to notice something. And then,
yeah, and then that's when we moved to Illinois, and we were staying at his sister's house at the time and eventually got enrolled in school and stuff. And then that's when I got yanked from school.
You've lived 1,000 lives.
Yeah.
That's what your partner was saying to me. He's like, yeah, she had to become an adult at like 6.
I basically raised myself because Andy would just like disappear for months and we wouldn't know where he was.
So you would just be alone in a house?
With my 2 older siblings, Matthew and Emily, and they would watch us. And they were still young too.
Mm-hmm. Is there any... biological relation with those siblings?
No.
But
I call them my siblings.
Well, you were mentioning, like, you consider them family still now.
Yeah.
Like, you have a good relationship with them.
Not really. They're okay. Not doing good. My sister's in jail right now, and my brother, he just had another baby, and they gave that baby to Andy to take care of because they were on drugs.
Why is everyone giving children to Andy?
That's a vicious, horrible cycle to have to reckon with. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that you feel a lot of different things about that.
I feel kind of grossed out that they're literally doing the same thing that we had to deal with as kids and not seeing, like, something wrong with
that. Not changing the path.
Yeah.
Because they are addicts.
Yeah.
He would also, like, leave us with... Andy would leave us with, like, his siblings, and that's when I got, like, sexually abused by several members of his, like, family and stuff. And he'd just, like, disappear for months, like, go to Myrtle Beach, like... Sometimes we wouldn't even know where he was most of the time. And we were still, like, all under 10.
Jeez. Can't believe how you've turned out. But you know what?
For the best, though.
Yeah, sometimes, though, like, that does, like, I don't know. You don't want to repeat the pattern.
I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
Or continue that cycle. So you have to be able to walk away and get better and do better for mm-hmm. yourselves. Because no one else will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Got to escape it.
Definitely.
So when did you... So you go back to Andy...
At 15, ninth grade.
Is this kind of like somewhat your decision? Like, is that what you wanted rather to get out of the foster program?
I thought it was going to be like how it was when I was younger. And, well, even though that wasn't great, but I thought it was what I wanted and for the best and better than a group home or foster home because they were so terrible.
Greg knows this from a lot of the stuff that we've covered. A lot of times, like, and I'm sure you know this, obviously, that, like, let's say, like, foster homes, Boy Scouts, for example, whatever, anywhere where you have access to the vulnerable, it tends to attract people that...
who take advantage of it.
Yeah.
My last...
But I'm sure there's wonderful foster parents.
There were a couple great ones, but there were a couple bad ones that outweighed the good ones.
Yeah, just like the police force.
There's good ones.
There's a couple good ones, but...
The last one that I was in before I got back in contact with Andy and no one knew about it, he reported it to CPS that they were abusing me and they had guardianship over me. So there was, like, no check-ins, no nothing. Like, they kind of just, like, left me there and didn't really know what was going on.
But Andy reported them?
Yeah, because I got in contact with them and they didn't know. And they were abusing me. And I had been there the longest. And they also had, like, 6 kids of their own and also had foster kids as well. And they didn't treat the foster kids like they were real kids. And they... The last night I was there, I told CPS that I didn't feel comfortable sleeping another night there because they had put hands on me several times and, like, were verbally abusive, mentally abusive, overall just, like, not great people. And I thought that's was the family that I wanted to be with because they had, like, convinced me in the beginning that they were, like, good and, like, they made it seem like good in the beginning, and then when I was, like, there, it was completely different.
You just have to be evil. Like, that. There is something so...
She eventually got her license taken away, and she can't have foster kids anymore because of what I reported.
Is any of these instances, like been in the news, like these people?
I don't think so.
Okay. They're not, like...
That's the scary thing. It's like it's not so common, it's not even newsworthy.
Yeah, right.
That's the unfortunate truth, and I think that, yeah, it's just a similar situation even in the foster program. How you're saying people in Boy Scouts, whatever, where there's an opportunity to take advantage of a vulnerable person, this is another place where I think there's a power struggle.
The reason why she freaked out on me that night was because I'd made tea the day, like that morning, to go to school, and I left sugar on the counter, and she was pissed off that I left a mess. And then I lied about it when I got home. She was like, did you make coffee or tea today? And I was like, no. And then she saw in my book bag the cup that I had, and she was like, bring me your cup. And then she, like, dumped it out in the sink and, like, shoved my head in the sink and then, like, started bashing me in the head because there was sugar on the counter.
What
an explosive, like, reaction over something that's, like, not a big deal.
Just an abuser. Was she on drugs?
No.
I just can't imagine treating a kid like that. Like,
some people really hate themselves, and that's the only way they can get it out. So you're now back in Chicago. You're 15. You're with Andy again.
No, he's in North Carolina now.
No, he was in North Carolina now. He came there.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I never went back to him because it was over state lines and it just, like, wouldn't transfer like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was back in North Carolina, they let me go back with him.
Did he come to North Carolina for you in some
no,
sense?
No, they had just moved back.
Okay. I see.
So
you were born in North Carolina. He was escaping things in Chicago.
Presumably. Was escaping from North Carolina to Chicago.
Yeah, okay, I see. So you're now 15, you're back with Andy, you're in North Carolina.
Ninth grade, about to start high school again.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right. So you're 15. You're back with Andy, but in North Carolina. Are your brother and sister with you in this equation at this point?
Yes. My sister's name is Emily, and then there's another younger sibling named Brenton, and then Matthew is out of the picture.
Okay.
They're staying in a farmhouse that eventually gets burned down by the city because it's unlivable. And
wow. So fully condemned. So they had, were you squatting?
No, they were renting, but it wasn't up to like living standards. And
yeah.
So where did they go when they burnt it down?
Well, they had moved out before that. And when CPS did the evaluation on the home, they initially rejected them as me moving. And the judge decided that after all these years, it was finally time for me to go back home. And we moved into that house, and it was a terrible house. It was a farmhouse. It used to be a slave house.
Were there ghosts?
I think so, yes.
Sounds that way.
I was going to ask that same thing, too.
And then we move into a couple other houses because they jump around a bunch, and they don't really have any stability, really. And eventually, I have to switch high schools again, and I'm there for a little bit. And then I meet this guy at the bowling alley one night. My stepmom was working at the skating rink, and I had walked down to the bowling alley. And I saw one of my friends there, and I asked to spend the night with him because we were like good friends. And this older guy who he was hanging out with offered to buy me alcohol, and he did. And then he like snuck into the room that I was in that night and like tried to do stuff, and I had like turned him down. I had a boyfriend at the time too, and he was like talking him down the whole day and the whole night and the next day. And then he like drove me home. And it was also his parents' house. His parents were there. They were sleeping. They just didn't know we were there. Like an underage girl in their house. And yeah, I got introduced to him, and then I started hanging out with him eventually. And then eventually I moved in with them because I wasn't going to graduate from high school if I stayed with Andy and Tracy, because they weren't taking me. And yeah, I don't think I would have graduated if I didn't move in with Jamie. And he was 22 at the time, and I was 15. And then we started to date, and then I also moved in with his family at his house.
So his parents were at this.
Yes. And
these parents don't think this is strange at all.
I think they thought they were doing better than what my family was doing.
I understand.
So they thought they were helping, but eventually it got way worse. I was also going to school when I got re-enrolled at the high school with his younger brother. We were in the same classes.
Well,
living in the same home?
Yes.
Awkward.
Yeah.
When he got you alcohol, that wasn't the first time you'd had alcohol.
No, I had started drinking and stuff after I moved back in with Andy with like my friends and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I started drinking when I was 15, 14. I think it was 14.
Eventually, I started, like, trying drugs and stuff, too.
Of course.
You're like Drew Barrymore. I think she tried cocaine at 6.
I actually had tried one of my family's pain pills, too, and I stole it from my sister and took it in front of Andy and Tracy, and
they didn't care?
They didn't really react or anything.
I'd be surprised that they weren't mad that you took from the stash that they wanted.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for being so vulnerable. This is, I hate to say fascinating because it's painful.
I think it's a pretty common occurrence, though. And
well, it sounds like people. That whole area. Well, I mean, it's across America, though, too. I mean, it's, yeah. But to the Be Here for a While listeners, this is going to be a multi-parter because this, your story deserves a lot more. And I know what's kind of coming with the Jamie thing. And
you finally thought you might be getting into greener pastures, leaving Andy and that bunch behind.
Well, but they were like the perfect family, Jamie's family. Like, they cared about their kids. They supported their kids. They did everything for their kids. And then they would do everything for their kids, even if it's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Which I saw multiple times.
Yeah. Well, we will get into that
on the next recording.
But even to this point, I'm astonished and impressed that at this point in the story, that you've made it to 16.
Yeah.
I mean, the life you've lived up until that point is
incredible,
heroic, and feels like a never-ending battle and like journey, excruciatingly long journey. So I applaud you.
Thank you.
You have some serious strength, and
she's been very strong. I'm gonna cry. Sorry.
Well, you do. I mean, you know, you've got the gumption to find better circumstances, right? And like that's, I think, the most powerful thing you can do. Like, no one else will do it for you. If you stay in the same circle of bad people, they're not going to change.
And it'll only get worse.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
so,
she's smart and she's funny. I think she knows that. She has good coping mechanisms. You have, like, I actually think Robin could be a stand-up comedian.
We're happy to say that, yeah, you have escaped these things now, but we'll hear more about it next episode. And yeah, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
And this is kind of a joke, but I have a kill list now. I will not kill anyone. I just might casually threaten.
Casual threats coming from Rachel O'Brien.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. We'll record again soon. And thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. And this might be one of the better episodes that we've had in a long time. Fascinating and not the best way, but
in the realm of fascinating train wreck type of circumstances.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people can relate to it. I think it is more common than you think.
Right.
And you got to pay attention to kids that do look neglected or lonely or something, you know? All right. Well, anyways, until next time, love you guys. Bye.